This morning we're going to be in Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22 this morning, and as you're making your way over there, I'm going to give you a few announcements, and then we'll get into our lesson this morning. As far as our announcements, I want to begin with just one, not only a prayer request, but I will also share with you some information and see if the Lord leads you to get involved. But Playfair Emmerling is having her hip replacement surgery tomorrow morning. It's going to take place at St. Vincent here in town, and she'll probably be in. Talking to her yesterday, she's going to try making it this morning, but she was saying yesterday the doctor said she'll be in there at least till Wednesday. They move fast now, so they said they'd probably be out Wednesday afternoon, if not then Thursday. She said they'd make sure she's able to move around and take care of herself. For those that aren't aware, she does live by herself. And I asked her if she was going to need any help, and she said no. She said the doctor said, now we'll see how she does, but she's got a couple of good neighbors, I know that, and they help her out a lot, and she said they'd be checking in on her. Also, we'll be calling her just to see how she's doing, but she said she should be able to get around, at least take care of herself as far as moving around the house and be all right. So, but keep her in your prayers. And along those lines, planning this week, probably starting Thursday night, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, we're going to provide meals for Playfair. Now, if you'd like to get involved, all that you need to be able to do is either make a meal or pick one up and then call her up and be able to take it on over to her house. You'll be able to make the arrangements and you'll be able to help her out. So if you would like to do that, I'll announce this again in the morning service, but if you'd like to get involved and take a meal to her, I believe Sharon probably has the sign-up sheet now. So if you would like to get involved, see her afterwards, and you can get a day where you can pick a sign up and take a meal over to Playfair to help her out. Now, we may help her out a little bit more if she does need it. I know she hasn't asked for any help, but as a church, it'd be good to help her out as far as meals until she's back up on her feet and able to go and take care of herself completely again. So that's just a prayer request we have. Also, as far as announcements, for those that are going to the Museum of Discovery, that'll be right after our service today. We'll have lunch out in the gymnasium, and then we'll head out to the Museum of Discovery right after that. So if you're sticking around for that, that'll be today. As far as other announcements, we do have a fellowship dinner coming up next week. A week from today, we do have our fellowship dinner. That's not in the bulletin, but it's not canceled. We're still having that. So next week's our fellowship dinner. I also want to thank those that were able to make it down yesterday and help clean up. The yard looks excellent. A lot of work was done. So if you see some people walking around a little slower today, it doesn't mean they're older. They might, I don't know. Maybe they just wore out. Who knows? But I know a lot of people came down to help out with that, and thank you. It looks really nice. So this morning, we're going to get into our lesson, Genesis chapter 22. The title of this lesson is Abraham's Great Test. Abraham's Great Test. And as you're turning there, I want to begin this lesson with a few remarks as far as Abraham is concerned. I don't believe, now this is just my opinion, could be wrong, I don't believe any man has been tested as great as Abraham was. I know I haven't even come close to that. You know, in all the trials and difficulties I have faced, I'll say right now my test was nowhere near his test was. This test, if you'll notice in the scriptures, it has never been duplicated again. It was a one-time test for one man and for his son. Now, we're going to see a little bit of the symbolism with God the Father and Jesus Christ, of course. But as far as a human being, no man has been asked to do this again. It was a one-time test, and he passed. I read where one man said, maybe it's because he passed, no one else has to take that test either. And if that's the case, then we'll all thank Abraham when we get to heaven for passing that test, so we don't have to do likewise. But you know, as we look at this, I do want you to notice his faith was tested greatly. And as we get into this chapter, Genesis chapter 22, it's a long chapter and there's a lot of information. I mean, we can look at Abraham's faith, we can look at Isaac's faith, we can look at the work of God, and there are a lot of different directions we can go in this. And so, like all of our lessons, I'm just going to go down and highlight the main points. Encourage you to study this out for yourself if you get a chance to, or an opportunity, and I believe it'll be a blessing to you. But beginning in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, he says, which I will tell thee of." We're going to start there this morning, and we're going to look at this great test for Abraham. Now, it was a test of faith, but there were some other factors involved as far as obedience to God and being willing to follow the Lord's direction. And we're going to look the first 10 verses as far as our outline is concerned. I want you to notice that Abraham was challenged. How many of you like to be challenged? Now that's a trick question. You know, sometimes we like to be challenged, but sometimes we want to avoid the challenges. You know, it's easier to go around the mountain sometimes than it is to go over it. You know, Abraham was challenged. And the Bible tells us here, it says, after it came past after these things that God did tempt Abraham. After these things refers to the everything that occurred previously, after Isaac had been born, after many of the trials in his life, that God came to Abraham or spoke to Abraham and challenged him concerning his faith. Now you think about Abraham, he'd already lived a life of faith. God had already called him out of his homeland, and he went by faith without ever knowing God's complete purpose. He followed God by faith into a new land, and there he lived. And later God would say, hey, you're going to have a son. Even though Sarah was unable to have children, the Bible says that Abraham had faith in God and he was blessed. So his faith had already been tested several times. I guess one of the lessons we learn with this is just because you've passed a test of faith or you've overcome one trial or difficulty doesn't mean you're exempt the rest of your life. Now that would be nice if we knew that God said, you know, you pass this one, it's over. It's clear sailing until you get home to heaven. But that's not the case. You know, often we get done with one trial just to go into another one. Or we overcome one test or we're live by faith just to face another one. And it really will not end until we arrive, I believe, at home in heaven with our Lord and Savior. And then that's when, of course, we'll live by sight and no longer by faith. But until then, we will be tempted, we will be tried, and we'll be tested. Now, in this case, the Bible says there that he did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and Abraham said, behold, here I am. I want to make a few remarks on tempting real quick. This was not, the word here does not refer to a temptation to sin. We know in the book of James chapter 1, verse 13, that God tempts no man, it tells us there. That, you know, God is not evil, he is not sinful, and he will not lead someone into sin or even tempt them with sin. This word refers to a testing, to prove something or to prove someone. When you look up the word that's there in the Hebrew language, that's what it's referring to. It's not talking about temptation that leads to destruction, but actually a testing to prove someone's faith and to strengthen them at the same time. You know, God obviously tests his children. Now, this morning, I'll be the first to say, I don't know necessarily how many times God has tested me. I don't think any of us really knows. I mean, there may be times when we look and say, yeah, that was a test from God, and I had faith. But I imagine when we get to heaven, God may show us how many times he did test us, and how many times we maybe failed, or how many times we were live by faith, and we pass that test. In this case, we know this was a test. Also, here's another thing I want you to notice. You know, the Bible never tells us that Lot was tested. It tells us he was a righteous man, but he was never tested. You do realize that God knows which one of his children can handle the tests and which ones can't. You know, I think it's probably a shame to Lot that he was never tested. And it's probably because he was living in the world and his soul was vexed in the city of Sodom. You see, he'd been tested like this, he would have just fallen apart. He'd have just crumbled. So when you get tested, when you get tried, you know what? Don't think it's, well, it's just because God's upset. Probably it's just the opposite. God realizes you love him, you care for him, and he can strengthen you and build you because you're there, you're ready, you're prepared. And that's where we find Abraham. So Abraham, it says, answered God's call. You know, it's possible to be so wrapped up in our own personal lives that we really neglect to follow after God. Abraham, one thing you'll notice about him is he was always ready to be challenged by faith, always ready to move forward. I believe he loved God and wanted to serve the Lord. Anyway, the command he was given here, it says, verse 2, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, get thee into the land of Moriah, offer him up for a burnt offering. We find here that Abraham was commanded to take Isaac, and it says there his only son. Now we know Ishmael was gone as far as he was out of the scene. He's no longer in the home. He would not inherit anything from Abraham, any of the blessings. Isaac was his son. Isaac would receive the inheritance, and Isaac would be blessed. And the Bible tells us that God told him to take him, and it says there very clearly, take them in the land of Moriah, offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains. I read where one commentator said, you'll notice when the scriptures that God never said slay him or kill him, said offer him. As we'll see, God never intended on taking Isaac's life. He never intended on Abraham taking Isaac's life. It was a test of his faith to see how far he would go to follow God. And so God directed him to go and offer him up there as a burnt offering. Now, when we read this, it's easy to look and say, well, hey, you know, he just followed by faith. I'm going to tell you, when you began to really, really consider not only his life, but this command, you began to realize how difficult this really would be. Any parent that loves their child would look at this and say, wow, I couldn't imagine doing anything like this or being directed to do this. You know, we find here that God made it clear in verse 2, he says, Isaac, whom thou lovest. You know, God knows our heart, and he knows what we love. He also knows who we love. Abraham loved Isaac and cared for Isaac. And you know what I think is an interesting, and I don't want to call it a tidbit, because I don't think the Bible does anything necessarily by accident or a tidbit. I believe everything is there for a purpose. But you know what's interesting is the book of Genesis is the beginnings. It's the book of beginnings. And you go back there and you'll find the beginnings of the doctrines today that we hold dear. You find those. What I think is interesting is the first time in the book of Genesis, the first time in the Bible that love is mentioned is right here. Now we have Adam and Eve, of course. We have several others. I'm not saying they didn't love each other, but the first time in the scriptures that we find love mentioned is right here. And I think it's interesting because it is applied to a father and a son. And the situation is dealing with a father preparing to take his son and offer him up as a burnt offering. You know, the reason why I believe that's interesting is because today, you know, we live in our Christianity talks about love and all this, the love of God. I think it's a skewed view of the love of God is what most of our Christianity has. Do you realize the love of God was manifested the day he sent Jesus to die on the cross? That's where we find the love of God. You see, God is not going to just say, well, I'm going to just ignore all your sin and accept you. That's what a lot of people want to believe. They say, well, God will never send anyone to hell because he's a loving God. I don't know how many times I've read that or heard that over the past 5 years. God will never send the world to hell because God loves everybody. Yes, God does love the world. God will send people to hell not because he, I guess you say, hates or dislikes them. He'll send them to hell because they're sinners. They've earned that. And God is a holy, righteous God, and he'll give people what they deserve. God does love the world. That's why he sent his son. You see, God said, I love the world, and I'm going to provide a way for them to be saved. I do believe that the entire world could be saved if they would look to God through Jesus Christ. Now, that's not going to happen. I'm beyond, you know, those foolish notions. You know, as a child, I used to think that everyone's going to get saved. No, many just won't. They just do not want to go through Jesus Christ. They refuse to. They're prideful, stubborn, whatever the case may be. But those that do, God will save. You see, that's the love of God. God has provided a way for people to be saved. I just think it's interesting here, and I don't have time to go into it any further, but we find love tied with a father and son relationship. So Isaac was his only son. Ishmael was already gone. Abraham loved Isaac, and so he was called to take him up there to make an offering of Isaac to before, I guess, God. One thing I do want to remark, and we'll comment on this a little bit more later, Isaac, I do believe, was a young man. Now, how old? Speculation runs from 20s to 30s. I don't believe he was a child. The two reasons I have or that I usually give on this is that word lad, you know, it finds there, it says take the lad. That's where most people will say, well, see, he's just a young kid here because it says take the lad. That word lad refers to anybody from childhood to young adult. And that's the word that is used in the Hebrew language. And secondly, you know what you find later? Isaac was able to make this journey with Abraham. He wasn't just a child. And Isaac was the one who carried all the wood for the altar up the mountain. Now, I know there are some strong, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-olds. I don't know if they would be strong enough to carry that wood for the offering and everything up the mountain. They might be. But most people believe that Isaac definitely was a young man at this point. And that makes his faith interesting as well. We'll talk more about that here in a few minutes. But anyway, Abraham was to travel to Moriah in order to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. Now, his obedience was tested. You know how easy it could have been for Abraham to say, no, I don't think so. You know, that's a foolish notion, you know, to do something like that. You see, his love also was tested. You see, when we read the Bible and we read of the commands of God, you know, we often will run into a command or something that God may tell us or direct us in a certain way to live. And we may look around and have friends and family who live just opposite. And you might even have friends and family who say, you're foolish to live that way according to the scriptures. You're foolish to neglect that sin or to not be involved in that. Everyone else is doing it. It's no big deal. You see, that tests your love for God. Do you love and follow the direction of everybody else, or are you going to follow the commands that God has put down. Remember what Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, that's a test of love, is obedience. And that's what we find here. Abraham was tested concerning his obedience and pretty much his love for God. How much did he love God? Now, God, basically, we find here, led Abraham or directed Abraham. Before we move on, notice a few things here. Abraham knew where to go as far as the general vicinity, but he would be told which mountain to go up when he got there. Now, how many of you like to have all the facts before you make a decision? I do. But you know, in life, that's not always the case, especially when we're following God. Usually that's not the case. That's why it's called living by faith. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen 5 years, 10 years down the road. We trust that God does, and that when the time comes, God will direct us correctly, or we'll open a door or shut a door, whatever the case may be. You see, Abraham was told the general area, and he was to follow God. Also, what I think is interesting is God did not give Abraham, at least from the scriptures we find here, he didn't give Abraham all the details. He didn't tell him why exactly. He didn't tell him how the test was going to play out. He just said, go and do this. You know, sometimes I think as Christians, if we're not careful, we can do nothing because we stubbornly want all the details. We stubbornly want to know why, instead of saying, okay, I'm going to follow the direction that God has given. So Abraham was willing to go. And basically, you know what he had to do? He had to just live by faith one step at a time. How many of you have to, you've come to the point in your life you realize you got to live one day at a time by faith. You got to trust that God will provide, that God will continue to bless. You know, I do believe that God wants us to live that way. Even if we are blessed with an excellent job, or even if you have an excellent savings account or whatever it may be, we still need to trust God, that God will continue to bless and that God will continue to provide and take care of us. Now, Abraham was not told why. He was just told what to do. And, you know, honestly, he could have objected. Three reasons I have is the personal reasons. He could have just disbelieved. You know, he could have just doubted and said, I'm not sure about this, and he could have just remained there. That would have been personal reasons. You know the practical reasons why he could have refused? First and foremost, think of what he was asked to do. You know, we know in Genesis already, before this took place, back in Genesis 9, it was made clear that murder was off limits. That's what he would be doing, taking the life of his own son. Even though God commanded, I imagine there could have been that, there probably was that conflict there for Abraham. God, you're commanding me to do something that you already said is off limits. This doesn't appear to be right. So he could have refused because of practical reasons. Also, he could have refused what I call precedented reasons. What I mean by that is, what would the world think of Abraham? Now, he's supposed to be a man of God, a prophet. What would the world think when they found out he offered up his son to God? You see, that's the way the pagans live. They offered up their children to idols. But that's not the way God's people live. God's people have never been directed to do that. As a matter of fact, and I'm going to give you some scriptures, we're not going to turn there, but the Bible prohibits that type of behavior. We find that in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 31, for those taking notes. Deuteronomy 12, 31 and Leviticus 18, verse 21, both prohibit offering children as sacrifices or human sacrifice at all. And actually, the nations around Israel often did that. And Israel, a few times, some of their kings mistakenly went in that direction, and of course Israel paid the price as a nation because of that sin. So it was off limits. I believe Abraham, even though he didn't have the law, he knew that murder was incorrect. I mean, he knew that from way back before he was around, right when Noah stepped off the ark, that was given from God. So he knew that it was incorrect. So we have a conflict here. At least it appears to be a conflict. Now, it wasn't a conflict, as we'll see, because God never intended on this taking place. It was just a test. But Abraham did not know that. He had to walk and act by faith. Now, verses 3 through 10, we see his decision. Notice it says in verse 3, Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah... Chapter 22, it says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. He said, Here am I, my son. He said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And verse 8, And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. We're going to find here that Abraham not only made the correct decision, but he followed God by faith. Now I have a map up here just to show you the general location. Down here we have Bethlehem. Here's the Dead Sea, Bethlehem. Jerusalem's up here. It's believed the area that Abraham resided in at this time was probably, if he was in the area of Hebron, was located near the Dead Sea, just west of the Dead Sea. And as far as Moriah, it was up by Jerusalem, where modern-day Jerusalem is today. That's where Moriah was. And so the Bible tells us it took him 3 days to make this trip. I think that's important for us to understand, because you do realize 3 days is long enough to change your mind. It wasn't like he was making a rash decision. He had time to think this through. Now, the Bible tells us he immediately obeyed. That next morning, he got up. Now, if there's going to be a morning to sleep in for Abraham in his life, this would have been the morning. I tell you what, if I was called to do this, that'd be the morning I'd be tempted to sleep in. That'd be the morning I'd be tempted to delay and to hesitate and drag my feet and go slow and make all the excuses of why I couldn't get there on time. But the Bible tells us he got up early and he went. I tell you, from the very beginning, he passed this test with flying colors. He got up immediately, and the Bible says he took off. Now, here's the problem with hesitation. I encourage you, when you read a command in the Bible and you see something in God's Word that you need to apply to your life, do so immediately. You know why? When you hesitate, you open the door for temptation to either neglect it, or you can also get a cold heart towards that direction. What I mean by that is you can just set it aside long enough that you ignore it. A week later, you've forgotten all about that command in the Bible that you were going to apply. So when the Holy Spirit works in your heart, when you study the Word of God, and there is something there that He just grabs hold of your heart. Now, that'll happen from time to time. There'll be something that the Spirit will just say, hey, you need to get this straightened out, or you need to be doing this, or you don't need to be doing that. And once again, that's between you and God. But when that occurs, I encourage you to settle it immediately. Make a decision. That's what Abraham did. He immediately took off that next morning, and he went. Now, I've often wondered this, and when we get to heaven, I'm not sure if God will tell us all the details of what happened. He may not. But I've often wondered if he told Sarah where he was going. My personal opinion is he didn't tell her a thing. I imagine he just said, we'll be back. I could be wrong. But, you know, there are some burdens that God just wants us to carry and deal with. And I imagine I could just see him, say, we'll be back, we'll see you later. And then I could see a few weeks later after they return, Isaac mentioning something around the table and Sarah looking at him saying, you did what? You took him to do this? You see, I could be wrong, but you saw how protective Sarah was in the Scriptures. I don't know if he'd have got out that door with Isaac had he told her what he was going to go do. Now, maybe I could be wrong. Maybe he did tell her and she acted by faith. The Bible doesn't tell us either way. But we know Abraham and Isaac took off by faith. I wonder what he thought that morning as he was looking at his son. He doesn't tell his son all that's going on. It later is when he shares with his son, I believe, what's to occur. You notice, because Isaac doesn't even ask the question until they're on their way up the mountain. So for those 3 days, I imagine he's telling his son, we just got to go and maybe sacrifice to God, and that's what God has called me to do. And as they're talking, I imagine the fellowship was sweet. This is where I just think of Abraham. Could you imagine looking at your son as you're going this direction? That's where I believe we see a man of faith as he talked to his son as they walked along. And perhaps each time he looked at Isaac, maybe he himself reminded himself that God will provide. God will provide. You see, faith, true faith, is when we trust God's Word. And I imagine that's what Abraham was doing. He was trusting God's Word. And as he went along, he probably looked at Isaac, and each time they talked, said, God will provide. Even though he may not have said it out loud, in his heart, he's thinking, God will provide. God will take care of us. And the Bible tells us that they went by faith. Now, this is great faith. He displayed faith throughout his entire life, but this here, I believe, was great faith. Now, you know what's interesting about this? This was not faith seeking any type of favor from God. You see, he didn't look at God and say, God, I'm going to do this so you bless me. God was the one who directed him to do this, and he just was living by faith. You see, God knows when we're after something from him, or if we're just going to live by faith And we hope that God blesses. Bible tells us that Abraham and Isaac and the two servants finished their journey. They arrived without delay. They made that 3-day trip. I imagine they stopped just for necessities. I don't think they took their time. I imagine they just went there. Bible tells us they made it in 3 days. And Abraham immediately climbed the mountain with Isaac. Notice what he told his servants there. In verse 5, he said unto his young men, Abide ye here, the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. And notice what he says, and come again to you. I believe Abraham in his heart was sure he was bringing Isaac back down that mountain with him. I don't think he knew how God would provide, when God would provide, in what way God would provide, but he was sure God would provide. See, that's faith. Let's learn from this. You know, when you face a trial in your life or a difficulty, whether it's at work, whether it's, you know, your personal life, live by faith. You may not know how God is going to answer your prayers. You may not know when or in what fashion, but trust that he does care about you, that he will provide, just like Abraham trusted that God would provide for Isaac. And that's what we find here. They both headed up that mountain. Now, they went up together. Isaac took the wood, and Abraham carried the knife and fire. And they conversed evidently along the way. In verse 7 it says, And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. He said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? I can see these two men heading up that hill. And Isaac's a little bit more energy, a little bit more zeal in life. He's younger, and he's got that wood, and he's carrying it up. And as he's going, you know, Isaac wasn't a fool. Obviously, he was not naive. And as they're going up that mountain, along the way, he's probably wondering, when's Dad going to get the lamb for the offering? And as they're actually heading up the mountain, now he's probably thinking, it might be a little too late to, you know, maybe Dad forgot. Have you ever wondered that with your parents, and only to find out they knew what they were doing all along? He's going up that mountain, and he looks at his dad and says, where's the offering? You know, he was curious. He knew something was wrong. He knew something was not right, that there's something wrong with the picture. You know, to Abraham's credit, you realize Isaac obviously was raised correctly. He knew something was wrong. He knew there needed to be a lamb. So obviously, he had seen his dad sacrifice before. His dad had taught him the correct ways. And to Isaac's credit, he paid attention. You know, that happens. We can take our children to church, and you realize they can walk through those doors, sit in the auditorium. You can have the best preachers, men that walk with God, men that love God. You can have great Sunday school teachers. You realize children can zone all that out if they choose to. You know, that happens. Some children come into church and they just shut everything off. Why? That's between them and God. To Isaac's credit, he paid attention growing up. He knew what was going on. He knew what was happening. If nothing else, let's pray that our children will open up their ears to God's word and pay attention to the preaching and the teaching that they hear and that they receive. Anyway, Isaac asked. And notice what Abraham provided. He provided an answer of faith. He says in verse 8, he said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. I think this is an excellent, this is my thoughts, an excellent verse concerning a dad and his son. First, we have the dad who's given a tough question. How many parents have had tough questions before? And the easiest one said, well, go ask your mom or go ask your dad. Go ask somebody else. He was given a tough question. And he didn't have the answer, but he said, God will provide. You see, sometimes your children may ask you a tough question, and even as they get older in life, they may ask you a difficult question that you may not know the answer to. And the answer may not be as far as in books or anywhere else. You may say, God will provide. Have faith in God. Trust God. You know, you keep living correctly, keep walking with God, keep looking to God, and guess what? He'll provide. That's what Abraham did. He told Isaac, he said, God will provide. Now, on the other side of it, notice Isaac. That was it. No more questions. No complaining. No getting upset. He accepted that answer, and evidently he went by faith as well. God will provide. And so the Bible says they both continued up on that mountain. When they got there, the Bible says that they, we've read that, we'll read it again. It says in verse 9, they came to the place where God had told them of. Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, bound Isaac, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven, said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, Here am I. He said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, he says, thy only son from me. Abraham and Isaac followed God the entire way. They went up there, and I could just see Abraham Now, this is speaking from the point of view of a parent. I can see him sitting there as he's putting that altar together, getting everything ready. I imagine he's saying, God will provide. And he's probably looking around, praying and hoping that God would provide. And as the time gets closer and closer, his faith is being tested even greater. God will provide. God will provide. You see, Abraham proved his faith. He did. He trusted God all the way up to the very end. D.L. Moody, the evangelist, said, he pointed this out, and I think this is good. He says, you'll notice that Abraham never asked God to spare Isaac. He never did. That was not in his prayer. He went by faith, and he trusted that God would spare Isaac. You know, we have to live by faith, trusting that God will do what is correct. That God, if God would choose to take us through a trial, that He'll also see us through that trial, provide the strength that is needed and required to get through it. So Abraham followed God, and Isaac also followed, I guess you say he followed his dad as he followed God. And God blessed them. The Bible tells us that verses 11 through 25, that a substitute was provided. It says there in verse 11, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven. Abraham said, here am I. And then he told him to, you know, lay not thine hand to thy son. So as he's preparing to sacrifice Isaac, we have him up here. The Bible says that he's getting ready. And now this is, I'm going to just throw this out there. This is my personal opinion. I imagine there are probably a lot of tears involved as this is occurring. And maybe not. Maybe Abraham was able to hold it all together. Either way, I imagine this, it took him to the limit, this test. You know, have you ever been tested in life where you've faced a trial and difficulty and it just, you felt like it was going to break you because it was just so hard, and you just fell on your knees and you prayed to God? That's the type of test Abraham is facing here. And God took him all the way to the limit, and the Bible tells us that the Lord intervened as the knife began to fall, as Abraham was committed himself to follow after God. You know, the Lord observed everything. Now that's, we must remember this. The Lord was watching over Abraham and Isaac. He observed it all. I don't believe Isaac was ever in any trouble because it was a test. And I do believe that God knew exactly what He was going to do when the time came to stop Abraham. And the Bible tells us that Abraham passed the test. Later we see he was commended because of his fear of God. You know, God also delivered at the extreme end. Now, I thank the Lord. We praise the Lord when prayer requests are answered immediately. But not all prayer requests are answered that day, that week, that month, or even that year. There are times where we have to wait on God and continue to seek Him out and trust in Him. And then, sometimes, when all appears to be lost or hopeless, that's when God will answer the prayer. And that's what happened here with Abraham. You see, Abraham just waited. I encourage you, if you are praying over something at this time, or if there is something in your life that is just a trial, hold on. Don't quit. Don't say, well, God's just forgotten about me. Just wait. God will answer in His time. Just be prepared for that answer and trust in God. Abraham, the Bible says, was provided a sacrifice. A ram was caught there in the thicket. And God said that Abraham looked over and he saw that. And he went, and the Bible says that he grabbed that sacrifice there, or that ram, and there he sacrificed that ram in place of Isaac. So God, in this case, you think of this, God spared His son. He really did. Abraham was willing to give back to God what God had given to him, and God blessed him. Now, the sacrifice and the test, or the test of offering up Isaac, must have been great. Could you imagine the rejoicing that took place afterwards? Bible really doesn't tell us a whole lot about it, but I imagine Abraham picked him up and hugged him and just held him close, and I imagine they both rejoiced and praised God together for God's provision and God's blessings. You know, also God, I have to mention this, and I'm not going to go into this too far because there's a lot here, but I do have to mention that God provided early in human history, God provided a picture of His Son, Jesus Christ. He did. Think about Jesus Christ, God the Father and God the Son, Jesus Christ. You think about them. God the Father would lead Him up to Calvary, and instead of sparing Himself and God the Son, Jesus Christ, He would send His Son to die for our sin, the sacrifice that would take place. Now you think about that. That's the picture of salvation that we find here. Now Abraham named this place. You'll find that in verse 14, Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. as it is said to this day in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. It means it shall be seen also. It means providing is what it's referring to. It shall be seen or it shall be provided for. You know, the Lord will provide. That's the monument that is there, that God will provide. Now, today, that's the symbolic name of Mount Moriah. You'll find that in the scriptures of Jehovah Jireh. Some interesting facts we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, or 2 Chronicles chapter 3, that the temple was built on Mount Moriah. You do realize the temple is where the Jewish people would offer their sacrifices to God yearly. Now that temple, just outside that temple, is where Calvary was located, where Jesus Christ, years later, would lay down his life for sin. Now those aren't just coincidences. God put all this together. God knew exactly what was going to transpire down the years, and God gave the world a picture of the future sacrifice to take away sin. Now, as far as this, think on this. Isaac was saved or spared because God intervened and provided a sacrifice. You do realize that's why we're going to heaven, don't you? Because God has intervened and provided a sacrifice. You see, if God had not sent his son this morning, we would have no hope. I mean, you can be the most intelligent person in the world. You can have the most possessions in this world. If God had not sent his son, we would all still be doomed to hell. But see, God intervened, just like he did with Isaac, and he sent his son, provided a sacrifice, so that way we could be saved. So this chapter is not just a chapter on faith, but a chapter on salvation. It really is an excellent chapter. Now, as far as, you think of God the Father, we got a few more minutes, and so I want to just mention this as far as God the Father and Jesus Christ. You know, what often happens, and I've been guilty of this, is, God the Father is often, I don't want to say neglected, but we often don't consider him when it comes to salvation and the sacrifice that was made. Of course, we think of Jesus Christ because he's the one that was beaten and he was the one that was taken upon on the cross. But how about we think about God the Father for a minute? Now, we've talked about Abraham this morning and the great test of faith this was, and how it probably was not only a trial and a struggle to do this, but how when things were finished, he rejoiced. You do realize that God the Father observed all that took place with his son Jesus Christ. From the moment he took on the form of a man and was born there in Bethlehem to the day that the humans, his creation, took him and put him on the cross. You do realize that God the Father observed the beatings. I'm going to tell you, humanly speaking, if my son was getting that, you'd be crazy to think I wouldn't step in. There'd be the suffering that Jesus Christ endured. God the Father observed that. And then God the Father, not only allowed him to go to the cross, but put sin upon him. That's what the Bible teaches. You know, those 3 hours of darkness, they just didn't happen out of nowhere, accidentally. I do believe that's the 3 hours where Jesus hung between heaven and earth, took sin upon him, according to the book of Peter, became sin. You see, God the Father turned his back on Jesus Christ. Now, we're not going to go any further in this, but you think of the sacrifice that was made, not only of Jesus Christ giving his life, but how about God the Father of sending his son? That was for us so we could be saved. You're saved here this morning. Praise God. God the Father definitely loves us. He sent his son to die on the cross, and he endured that, did not spare himself from observing that, so that way we could have life. You see, when you began to really look and see what was involved for our salvation, that should humble us. That should cause us to fall on our knees and give thanks unto God. That should cause us to live unto God and be willing to give back because what he's given unto us. Now this last section here, verses 15 through 24, God promised Abraham a sure or a certain future. We're not going to get into it too much. I'll just begin reading. It says, we've already read the first section here, No, I haven't read any of this. Verse 15, "The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men. They rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt there," it says, "at Beersheba." So Abraham pleased God Obviously, God noticed his life and noticed his faith, and Abraham pleased God. And it was made clear that God would bless him because he was obedient unto God. Abraham did not actually slay Isaac, but you know what? He was willing to if God called him to do that. And he also believed, as we read in Hebrews, he believed God. If God called him to do that, he also believed God would raise Isaac back up again. You see, he knew the promises that God had given were through Isaac. And so he just went by faith, trusting that God would take care of him. Anyway, God confirmed his promise. You know, he said his descendants would be blessed. They would be a multitude. And he gives two illustrations. He compared them to the stars in heaven and the sand upon the seashore. You do realize, even in 2013, that still applies. You see, the Bible is accurate. Think about this. We can focus the strongest telescope we have into one section, one small section of our universe. If you go to NASA, you can read all about it. It's interesting on their website. We can focus the strongest telescope we have, one small section, and the stars and the galaxies we see in that are a multitude. We can't imagine how many are out there. You see, the Bible is accurate. Now you think about the sand upon the seashore. You just head to one small area along the beach. If you want to go toward the Pacific Ocean or the Atlantic Ocean, your choice. You couldn't count all the sand in one small section on a small beach, let alone all the sand on the seashore in this world. You see, once again, God is accurate. Now you think about this. The descendants of Abraham, of course we know of his natural descendants, but later in the book of Galatians, Paul also tells us there's a spiritual teaching there too, as far as his spiritual descendants, those that trust in God and are saved through Jesus Christ. Our children, not only belong to God, but also are considered descendants of Abraham. So there's a spiritual teaching there. You know, this morning, we don't know how many people have been saved through the years, how many Jews have been born through the years. It's amazing. God did keep his promise to Abraham. And the Bible says that God swore by himself. In other words, God made a promise and an oath, is where we find here. And God's not going to break either one of those. So God proved himself to Abraham, provided a sacrifice, and blessed him. Bible says Abraham returned to Beersheba. And at the end of this, I'm not going to read it, but verses 20 through 24, we find that Abraham heard about his brother Nahor's family. Though he lived a great distance from them, I imagine he still cared about their welfare. He may have heard about maybe a traveler passing by provided this information. But I do want to point out that this was timely. This is not just put in there, be like, well, I just threw this in, see how everyone's doing. It was timely. Isaac was still without a wife. And he was the one that would be the one that was promised to receive the blessings and those that descended from him. He was still without a wife. Don't you think God knew that as well? I'm sure Abraham knew that. Of course, Isaac knew that. God knew that as well. You see, God was already making preparations for Isaac without Isaac even being aware. You do realize that God not only can work in your life, but also around your life to bless you and to provide blessings for you. Now, of course, we often hear in this case, this passage is used to challenge young people, obviously, and it should be, to not only look to marry someone that has faith or shares your faith, because we find here, Abraham would not take a child, or we'll see this in a few weeks, he would not take a child for Isaac out of the Canaanites, out of the people in the world. He wanted him to marry someone that he believed would be a blessing to him. Now this morning, you think on this, God was preparing that ahead of time. You see, God is so good. You know, I have a hard time making plans sometimes for next week, or the plans I do make fall apart sometimes, or I got to make a new schedule as we go along. God, he doesn't have that problem. He's thinking years ahead of time. He knows how to work things out and bring them to pass. And he can move everything together. That's what we're going to see that he does. And that's what he did for the life of Isaac. Now, as far as our lesson this morning, I just do want to encourage you to remember that God should be trusted in all his areas. We should live by faith. Trust him. Don't trust the pastor. Don't trust books. Trust God's word. That's what you have. That's what's been given to you. That's what you put your faith in, is the Word of God. Now, that's not saying pastors are distrustful, but you know, the Word of God is what's accurate. Pastors should be preaching and teaching from this Word and challenging people from the Word. You see, the Word of God is where we should put our faith. And that's what Abraham did. You know, I guess it's simple. You do realize all he did was trust God, and God took care of the rest. God provided. He just